Blog Talk Radio. alright, alright, alright. You're gonna learn today. Alright, alright, alright. You're gonna learn today.
Alright, 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 alright. Shalom, Israel. Shalom, good evening. Welcome once again to another episode of Swear the Truth Presents Bible Talk. It's me, Mashaba, one of the teachers with the ISBHPK, the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge, inviting you or welcoming you to another show, another class episode. Please check out ISBHPK.com. Please go to ISBHPK.com. Check out the videos. Check out the events. Check out the High Holidays. They have classes on there. They have links to Israelware. And they just had a fashion show, which is crazy. It's bananas if I'm using someone trying to go there. They just had a fashion show. And it was on the brother Ariyah. They posted it on Instagram. Nice. They are really – Kazakia and y'all brothers out there from Houston, Virginia, and Rochester, y'all are really doing a damn thing. Y'all are really representing Israel on a whole other level, and it is beautiful to see. So we ask that please support them by going to ISBHPK.com, checking out Israelware, the link to Israelware, the link to Sweet Ambiance, and, of course, there's a link to blogtalkradio.com also. Please go and check them out. They're doing a fantastic job. The videos that Kazaki is doing with the Hidden Truth, my goodness. That brother stays busy. That brother is really promoting the word, really trying to promote Israel waking up to the Most High. It's amazing. It really is amazing with the works that they have going on. So please go and check that out. As you know, we do have schools in San Antonio, Houston, Texas, Norfolk, Virginia, and also Rochester, New York. So there's links to those sites there. And as we're working on putting something together back here in Albuquerque, it's a little rough, but we're not going to be stopped. All right, but we're not going to be stopped. We're going to continue to hopefully be those servants that when the Lord comes to find so doing, like we see some of the other brothers getting their works in. For the Most High, for Christ, being saved by their works of faith, by the faith that they read in the scriptures and that they're doing the right work, that we're all doing the right work that might please the Most High, that when he gets here, we can be rewarded as opposed to being condemned or judged or what have you. All right? With that, all that being said, I'm going to kind of go ahead and jump into tonight's class. Before I do that, if y'all haven't listened to Brother Tazapak Tuesdays through Blog Talk, you might want to do yourself that favor. You just might want to do yourself that favor and check it out. The brother's bringing out some outstanding research, is the best way I can say. Outstanding research and studies to help describe some of the modern-day events that's taking place. Like the Roe versus Wade abortion thing, what have you, or the events in the news. But the class he was going over, and I'm not just saying this because he's a brother and he's a friend, but goodness. The way the brother went into this class, is really history, a real history class. Breaking down, it was a two-part series, and he was bringing down about the long hair that's spoken about in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And how this controversy is about what that means and what have you. But go and check it out. Please go and check it out. The way the brother really broke that down to make it really easy to digest, it's really impressive. It really is impressive. So I ask you, please, check out Tazapak Tuesdays here on www.blogtalkradio.com. It's easy. It's real easy. It's check it out. I'm going to say it like that. Check it out. The other website I'm checking out, YouTube I'm checking out, and I haven't done this, but I just started, IUIC Sabbath Class. My goodness, IUIC, yeah, Israel United Christ Sabbath class. Wow. Let me not shoot myself in the foot. Let me not shoot myself in the foot. If you've never read the Bible, which a lot of people really you haven't, and I'm not saying that to put anybody down, just stating a pure fact. You haven't read the Bible. So if you check out ISBHPK.com, Houston class on Sabbath days, they do the Torah reading every Sabbath. That literally you read through the Torah. You start from Genesis. They started from Genesis, and it is reading through the Torah. As you know, the Torah is the first five books of the Bible. And they usually go over about three chapters every Sabbath. About three chapters from the Torah: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then there'll be an Old Testament prophets reading. Usually Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Malachi, what have you. And then there'll be a New Testament. Help tie it in, help tie everything in, and show how all the Bible is complete, all the Bible is one. And that's a good way if you've never read the Bible, you don't read the Bible. If you just get the Bible read, check out the ISBHPK Torah class. ISBHPK Houston, or even San Antonio does it also. Just Saturdays. Starting at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time in Texas, and check it out. Just go through. After that, you're in the evenings, man. They have a YouTube links with IUIC. They get some great, excellent classroom study. It is based on the Sabbath. They do basic class on the Sabbath, but to get some great understanding, clarification. I mean, with a clarity. Oh my goodness! And then I've been checking out this brother, Deacon Ethan. Wow. Even Nathaniel. Y'all want check him out to get an understanding of the Bible, an understanding from the history of the Bible and how it pertains to today. And getting some of these breakdowns to help you understand the Bible. ISBHPK Sabbath class, Houston Sabbath class, that's what gets you through the Torah, where you're just going to start to get a basic reading. They're just reading through the Torah. They'll get some edification, get some scriptures. They're just reading through the Torah. But to get some classes and get some, you want to take your studies a little bit more in depth, IUIC Sabbath class. Wow. I'm getting another reinvigoration taking place. Check them out. If you hate my voice, I sound like the Peanuts. For those who even know who Charlie Brown is and Snoopy or whatever, the Peanuts teacher. Well, my voice just puts you to sleep. My voice just is so irritating to you. You want to crawl through the media device you're using and just stab me in my throat. Cool. Just ain't about me anyway. But to get the teaching of the Bible, please. There's so many different media resources and media outlets of Hebrew Israelites. Check out something. All right? Check out something. With all that being said, I only have 90 minutes today, and I know I've killed probably about 89 of it just right there. I'm continuing with the class. This is actually like a part three of brotherly love. It's like a part three of brotherly love. Love one another. The last scriptures that we left off with, we wound up doing some chapter breakdowns. We're actually just reading through chapters, and getting a perspective on just reading through chapters and getting some perspective or context of certain statements and certain scriptures that we do see in that we do come across, and what was going on at the time that it was said. That's what the past couple of classes have been about, and dealing with brotherly love and loving one another as you love you and loving one another. We've been going over Christ saying to his disciples, his students. We were discussing how we're supposed to love each other as Christ loved us. and we examined some of the Old Testament in Jeremiah chapter 2, chapter 3. We went and looked at the love that God has for the nation of Israel. We coupled that in the series, the couple of series that we've been going over, with when Christ told the disciples, love one another as I loved you. That was John, the 13th chapter. A lot of people, because of religion or whatever, you just read that part and you just go with that one statement, but you don't have any context of what was going on at the time. It was a time just after the Last Supper. It was the Last Supper had just been consumed, and after everybody ate, Christ got down on his hands and knees, and he literally washed the disciples' feet, knowing that he was going to be betrayed, even telling them he was about to be betrayed to death, that he was going to die. And in the midst of having that knowledge that he knew he was going to be betrayed, he knew that what was about to happen was going to be the crucifixion, was going to be him bleeding, him dying, him being tortured. But still, in the midst of all that, he still got on his knees, and he still washed the disciples' feet and said, now, as I've done for you, y'all do for each other, in the midst of being betrayed, in the midst of being afflicted, being offended, look at how I'm doing for you and how I got through this betrayal, how I got through somebody from their lying on me, from their acting like they're my friend, and they weren't. Judas got paid 30 shekels of silver, 30 silver coins, and came up and kissed Christ on the cheek. Was like, and Christ was like, friend, you going to betray me with a kiss, nigga? So like, wow. But to see how Christ took it and dealt with it, as an example to the disciples, to his students, of how to deal with somebody who did something like this to you, somebody that was close to you, and they did something so treacherous, they wound up having you being put to death, but how he dealt with it. He gave that to the disciples, and now, the same way I love you, you got to love others. Look at how I still did for y'all. I'm the master. I am the Lord. But look how I'm taking low for y'all. I'm getting down on my knees and washing your feet. And then we was going through St. John chapter, the 14th chapter. And when you consider this, I'm trying to get all my thoughts together. When you read the scriptures, John, the 13th chapter, 14th chapter, St. John chapter 13, chapter 12, all the way through St. John chapter 17, that's all one letter. That's all one happening. That's all one event. Those four chapters is Christ talked to disciples after the Last Supper, right before he's about to be betrayed, right before, well, as he's being betrayed, and Judas is going to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the high priest, getting his money and bringing an army to where Christ is at in the ultimate setup, for Christ to get beat down, to be killed. And in the midst of all this, how Christ is dealing and what he's saying to, and how he's trying to prepare the disciples, his apostles, his students, the ones he's been training, the ones he's been working with, the ones he's been instructing, disciplining, guiding, giving these last instructions before he's about to face this his death, and how he dealt with it. So, to try and help catch the spirit back a little bit, the continuity of the class a little bit, I do want to come back and read St. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. I'm going to read that. St. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So we've been over that. We did a whole two-hour class on that. We really covered that. But kind of making a segue into tonight's class, I did title this class tonight, Peace. Let me pull it up again, make sure I quote it right. Peace, Comfort, and Love. All right? I did title this class Peace, Comfort, and Love. And there's a reason why I did that. One thing Christ had stated when we was reading the last class that we were in together, we was going over how Christ was talking about the comforter. We just got to the point where Christ said, I go away, and in fact, if I'm leaving, y'all should be sad that I'm leaving. Y'all should be happy because I'm going to my Father. But I'm going to go to prepare a place for y'all. And if I go, I'm going to return so I can bring you to it. So in that, you should rejoice. And then Philip going into, well, show us the Father. Thomas, what do you mean? How you gonna do these things you're going to be doing, whatever? We covered that last class. And dealing with the comforter that Christ said he's going to send. And why it was important for us to love one another, that we keep his commandments and that we love one another as he loved us, so that the comforter could come, so that we might have a peace of mind, we might have peace. Whereas peace and comfort are synonymous. They work hand in hand, all right? So with that, I'm going to go to St. John chapter 14, verse 27. I'm going to go to the book of St. John chapter 14, verse 27. And, well, let's just read it. Let's just read it. St. John chapter 14, verse 27. It says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I don't know. It doesn't seem to register when we are looking for peace, love, and comfort. The peace, love, and comfort that we're looking for is for what we've seen in the world. How the world gives peace, how the world gives comfort, how the world gives love. And we keep searching for that. We keep going, we go to extremes trying to find peace, love, and comfort. But because we don't study or read scriptures, a lot of our hopes and dreams have been dashed to pieces. A lot of the things that we turn to thinking that it's supposed to be a comfort because of what the world describes as peace, love, and comfort from a relationship. I'm supposed to have peace, love, and comfort from a relationship. I'm supposed to have peace, love, and comfort from a lifestyle that I pick. If it's whatever it might be, a businessman, a rapper, just a hardworking man, a model, a college graduate, that we're in pursuit of these things. We're looking for peace, love, and comfort. And I'm not saying that the pursuit of peace, love, and comfort is not a wrong thing. It's just that are we looking for the peace, love, and comfort that Christ gives? Are we understanding the peace, love, and comfort that Christ gives, or are we trying to still look at what peace, love, and comfort means to us that's been given to us from a strictly worldly standard? If I'm a worldly standard, because I drive this type of car, that's supposed to give me peace, love, and comfort. Because I have this size of house, that's supposed to give me peace, love, and comfort. Because I've got this many zeros and I got commas in my bank account, that's supposed to give me peace, love, and comfort. Because I've got, I'm in a relationship and somebody says they love me. So that gives me peace. That's supposed to give me peace, love, and comfort. Because I dress a certain way and because I wear this style of clothing, that's supposed to give me peace, love, and comfort. And we pursue these things. And we've been taught to say in Jesus' name, I pray, and what have you. And as we just read, we didn't read today, but we just read what Christ said, if you do anything in my name, if you do it in my name, if you're following my actions, and I need to put that class together. Because of the falseness that the world has given us, the falsehood that religion has given us, we think that is enough to say, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. And technically, we've been taught that the scripture does say, if you ask anything in Christ's name, it'll be given to you. But we think just because we say his name in, if it's going to be English, Jesus, but because I say the name Jesus after a prayer, that's somehow magically, mystically supposed to grant me what I want just because I said the name Jesus or Jehovah or Jesus or Yahweh or Yahushua or even Yahweh Shai. We're thinking just like some abracadabra type of magic word that because I say his name, whether in Hebrew, English, Greek, Latin, whatever, if it's French, just see that because I said his name, that's supposed to grant me whatever it is I want. But if we're going to do things in Christ's name, that means I'm doing things the way he would do things in his name. That how did he live? That I'm going to live my life the way he lived his life in his name. I'm doing this in his name. So, for example, if a person is sitting down to a seafood buffet and there's shrimp, crab, lobster, snails, caviar, catfish, octopus, eel, stingray, shark fin, eels, jellyfish, seahorses, and turtle, and you sit down to eat this, and you're saying, God, thank you for this bountiful meal that we're about to eat, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would Jesus sit down to that same dinner? Would Jesus eat those same foods that God already said are an abomination to eat? Would Jesus be doing the things that God, would Jesus be consuming the food that God hates? Would Jesus be consuming the creatures that God says he did not create for human consumption? Going directly against the laws of God. Going directly against God. Hopefully y'all know the answer is no. No, he wouldn't do that. Because Christ came to do things in his Father's name. So when we're sitting there and the things we pray for, the things we ask for, and we're thinking just because we use his name in English, Greek, Spanish, French, Creole, Hebrew, ancient Hebrew, Aramaic. Just because you say his name, that's supposed to be like a magic word. That's supposed to abracadabra. It's just supposed to make you right. It's supposed to make you good. So now that be just because you call his name, that's why he's going to answer you? No. When Christ washed the disciples' feet and told the disciples to do unto each other the way I did unto you in my name. So with Christ being the master, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Messiah, did he get on his knees and wash these other men's feet? Yeah. So now if we are in a position where now I got to wash another man's feet, I got to take low and wash another man's feet. And me doing this, whose name am I doing? I'm doing it in the name of Jesus, because you know what? This is how Jesus did it. This is why I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm able to do this action because this is the same type of action that Christ did. So I can do this in his name. I'm doing it like he did it. It's the action of Christ that this is why I'm doing it in his name. That if Christ said turn the other cheek, and Christ did turn the other cheek, literally, to get beaten with the cat-o'-nine-tails, hung on the cross, and still come back and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So now when somebody smites me on the cheek, offends me, and I turn to them the other, and now I'm doing this in the name of Jesus because Jesus did this same thing. So now the reason I'm doing it, because I'm doing it for to honor his name. If this is what he did, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it the way he did it, in honoring his name. Now, if I'm in a situation where I get smacked on the cheek and I smack somebody back, there's no way I can say I now withheld myself or I reacted and I'm still following Jesus. No, you didn't, because Jesus didn't do that. The Messiah Christ, he didn't smite back. He didn't attack back. But to sit there, somebody like Chris Rock got slapped by Will Smith. Now, if Chris Rock would have said, you know what, because Christ got smacked, for Christ, I'm going to follow Christ, and I'm gonna turn the other cheek and let him, if it came to it, let him hit me the other cheek. Whereas everybody else might be saying, man, you effing crazy. Man, hell no, you let somebody just walk up on you and smack you like that. What the hell's wrong with you? On everything I love, I would have got him back. On my mama, I would have got him back. Because your mom would have probably struck back. But if Chris Rock were to say, you know what? Because I'm following Christ, I'm going to do this in the name of Christ, I'm going to turn the other cheek. Because that's how Christ lived. That's how Christ would have done things. Now I'm doing things in his name. Now I'm calling upon his name. Not just because I'm saying his name. For those of us that are parents, or ever babysit somebody, you ever have that kid when they're like toddlers, they're just learning how to talk or whatever, and it's daddy, 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 hey, daddy, dad, pop, dad, hey, and they're just constantly calling you? I know I'm not the only one who's ever gotten annoyed at that. To where, I don't know, I personally said, no, I changed my name. My name ain't Dad no more. My name is Mbufu. Don't just keep calling my name, just be calling my name. You're thinking because you call my name and you annoy me enough, you're going to get things your way. And a lot of times we treat Christ and the Almighty the same way. That just because I keep saying your name, like your prayer beads, if I keep saying this prayer over and 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 over again, that you got to answer, because I'm just going to annoy you until you hear me, you acknowledge me, give me what I want. I'm going to throw this temper tantrum until you just give me what I want. I'm not going to do things the way you want things done. I'm not going to obey you, but I'm going to annoy you by just saying over and over and over again. That's not how God works. That's not how Christ, the Christ and Messiah works. So, again, St. John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. Christ, the Messiah is going to leave peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Christ is telling the disciples and us, if you choose to be his disciple, he's leaving you, he left us his peace. What got his mind settled? What kept his mind grounded through everything he was going through? Did Christ light up a cigarette? Is that what gave him a peace of mind? Knowing that he was about to be betrayed? Knowing he had to shed his blood? Did Christ smoke a bowl? Did Christ pop a Molly, a Xanax, to help ease his mind to what he's about to go through? Maybe that's extreme. So did Christ, knowing that what he's about to go through and look for a peace of mind, did he go on a Netflix binge? Did he go on a Hulu binge? Because he's trying to get a peace of mind. to help him deal with knowing that Judas is betraying him. He told him, one of y'all is going to betray me. And then when he dipped his hand in the sock, and him and Judas's hands happened to touch, remember they were at the Passover. It was a feast. He looked him in the eye and said, man, go do what you got to do and do it quickly. Knowing what the setup was, knowing that he was being set up and what was going on, what gave Christ a peace of mind that he could get down on his knees, wash the disciples' feet? When we get back to the reading of, these chapters, what got him to the point where he could pray for the disciples and not pray for himself? What gave Christ a peace of mind? I know it's hard to think that Christ, because everybody, you know, has the stigma that, well, Christ is perfect. Christ is perfect. So Christ never had to go through anything. You know, he was the son of an angel. An angel got Mary pregnant. The Holy Spirit got Mary pregnant. So he never has gone through what I've gone through. He never felt what I had to go through. Y'all don't believe in Christ the way the scripture says. When we go through that class, and I guess it's by that time for us to go back through it again. Remember, Christ was born, he was born in the least of the cities of Judah, a ghetto. It's a hard knock life for us. That's where Christ, that's the city he grew up in, to where they even asked him. Peter, Philip said, we found him, but who the prophet, most of the prophets did right. Nathan was like, who? Jesus of Nazareth. Of Nazareth? Hey, nothing good coming out of Nazareth. I got to see this for myself. Nazareth? Them niggas up there? Oh, hell no. That's where Christ was born. That's where he came from. Not where he was born, but that's where he came from. That's where he was raised. The son of a carpenter? Blue collar work? We get too much of that white man's lies in our head of media. That Christ just had a good, born with a silver spoon in his mouth, and he had to go through anything. Remember, when Christ was born, think about it, when he was born, Mary and Joseph had to go down and stay with their family in Egypt, hiding because they wanted to kill Christ. You must have had some pressure, stress. But you've been studying to understand how Christ, what he really went through. You still got the whatever in your head about church, about movies or whatever. You ain't read to really understand what Christ really went through. So to be at this point now where he knows he's about to die, what gave Christ a peace of mind? That now he's giving this to his disciples. He's given what got him through. He's given to his disciples. The key, though, is you got to be his disciple. A lot of us have turned to sex to give us peace of mind. I got to climax. If I'm climaxing, that's going to give me a peace of mind. Or I got to have a good stiff drink. Or I got to smoke some weed. I got to do this to get a peace of mind. But what did Christ do for the stress that he was under? Come on, y'all. And I hope you do remember the stress levels that Christ was under, that he was sweating blood. Not just a nosebleed. He was sweating blood. That's how much stress he was under. But what gave him a peace of mind to weather all that? That they were coming to kill him. He understood the scriptures that it pleased the Most High to bruise him, that he was going to get fucked up. By somebody that he gave spiritual power to. He broke bread with. Taught them scriptures And now this nigga out betraying me for 30 pieces of silver? I'm about to be destroyed. But what gave Christ a peace of mind? To endure and go through these things. That this is what he's giving his disciples. We don't look at it from that perspective. We're looking for what we desire to give us peace. And somehow we're thinking that this is the peace that Christ is trying to give us. But we don't go and study and read. No. That's not the peace he's giving. St. John, chapter 14, verse 27. It says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. I'm not giving you the peace that the world gives. The way the world gives peace. Oh, you going through something? You need amphetamine. You're going through something? You need some Ritalin. Oh, you're going through something? You're stressed out. Christ isn't giving. He said, I'm not giving you the peace that the world gives. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm going to show you. This is Christ. This is Yahweh Shai, the Messiah, the Savior. And I know it's just impossible to think that Christ had stress in his life. Now, forgive Christ talking about, remember, he didn't have a home. Let me get that scripture real quick. Give me that scripture real quick. All right, I'm going to go to Luke. Luke chapter 9. I'm going to go to Luke chapter 9. We're going to start verse 57. Luke chapter 9, we're going to start verse 57. It says, the cost of following Jesus. What does it mean to really follow Jesus? To follow Yahweh Shai, the Messiah. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. So Christ was out there teaching, doing his thing, healing people. And a young man came up. A man came up and said, I want to follow you. I want to be like you. Wherever you go, I want to go where you go. Because he's seeing all the glory that Christ at this particular time was receiving. Healing people, feeding people. They're knocking down doors to get at Christ, that Christ might be able to touch them. They might be able to touch the hem of his garment. Like he was a paparazzi. He was a straight celebrity. Not paparazzi. He was a straight celebrity. So the young man's looking at this like, I want that. I want that type of glory. Hey, yeah, I want girls knocking down my door and trying to get at me. Yeah, I want people offering me everything. Offering me money, gold, fat, whatever. Offering just so that I might just touch them. This is what this man is looking at. Verse 58. Luke chapter 9, verse 58. And Yahweh Shai, the Messiah. That's what I'm going to start using. And the Messiah said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests. So when a fox is finished hunting, where does a fox go for comfort, for rest, for solitude? Foxes have holes. Birds of the air, as it is, whatever purpose birds serve, besides being yard birds, like some chicken, to eat up eventually, What purpose do they serve? To sit on a telephone wire, get shooed away, fly back, or maybe just to shit on your car. What purpose do birds have? But whatever purpose it is, when a bird finishes his business for the day, where do birds go at night? They have nests to go to, where their young ones are there, their mate is there, there's protection. They go to rest. They go to ease the mind. Luke chapter 9, verse 58. And Yahweh Shai, the Messiah, said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. I got no place of comfort or ease where I can go and just rest and chill. After a long day of work, of healing everybody, having my spirit pulled on, being patient, and just giving, I got no place where I can go chill and just get away. So if you want to come follow me, understand what you're getting into. Understand the work you're doing. The work ain't to make sure you have a big house so you can go chill. That's not the work of Christ. The work of Christ ain't so you can just get away and have your own. So the reason that you have the RVs, the big-ass campers, and so you can show everybody you got a place to go chill. That you got a vacation home, as well as a winter home, as well as a timeshare, so that you, as you finish working for yourself, you can go chill. That's not the work of Christ, the Messiah. That ain't following him. So when Christ says, peace I leave with you, but that's the peace that the world gives. The peace of the world is, I'm supposed to have a mansion with a pool, a jacuzzi, a full-size tennis court, a full-size basketball court. Lifestyles are rich and famous. Going back a couple of years, MTV Cribs. How I'm living. That's not the peace that Christ is giving to help you to help his disciples deal with the hard times, the afflictions, the persecutions, the mental stress that they're going to be put under. Again, I would love for somebody to please tell me or show me that when Christ was just tired, weary, that he went and rolled a blunt. Well, I guess now he went and vaped. Because he's so stressed out, he went and vaped. Or just to get away, which I'm guilty of, let me put myself in the pot, make sure I'm there. I'm going to Hulu binge watch so I can ease my mind. Is that what Christ did? Christ had a Hulu subscription? A Netflix subscription? Christ was on YouTube. Christ was watching TikTok to give himself a peace of mind. No, so that's not the peace that he gave his disciples. He gave his disciples his peace. What got Christ, the Messiah's mind, settled, at ease? Was it a long walk in the meadow? Was it dinner in a movie? Christ had a side piece. that he go over there at, you know, 2 a.m. He go make a booty call. What did Christ do for a peace of mind for everything he was going through? Well, whatever that was, and that's what, one example with this class, that's what he gave. That's what he's giving to his disciples, to his followers, to his students. What's crazy is, well, let me go ahead and go through this. We're going to go now to St. John chapter 16, verse 33. We're going to jump now to St. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you should have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Remember, all this is still part of the same conversation. This wasn't broken up. This happened one day. This happened another day. This was all one from St. John chapter 14 all the way through St. John chapter 17, including St. John 16. This is all one conversation that was taking place. This is Christ rapping to the disciples right before he was about to be killed. These things, St. John chapter 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. If you follow me and use the things I use, you have a peace of mind. Like I had a peace of mind. Y'all, the disciples then actually traveled with Christ. They saw how stressful his life was. And nobody been under more stress than Christ. Nobody. I don't give a good two, whatever. Nobody has been through more stress than Christ, the Messiah. Nobody. But the question is never asked, how did Christ find peace in the midst of all the agitation, all the persecution, all the drama? How did Christ find peace? What did he use? And then what did he give the disciples? Was it a Holy Grail? Was it a cup? The cup he drank from? So now if you just drink this cup, this exact same cup I'm drinking from, like some type of magic, this was going to get your mind right to go through what you had to go through? St. John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. If you keep trying to use the world, use the peace that the world gives, you're going to have even more problems. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. If you're going to keep trying to ease your mind the way the world eases their mind, the way the world finds peace, you're going to just find more problems. Is that why Jay-Z sings the song, More Money, More Problems? But I thought that's supposed to give you peace. Money, power, respect. I got 99 problems, but a female ain't one. If those are some of the standards that the world uses, that this money is supposed to give you happiness, why are so many rich people on drugs, whether it's prescription or recreational? Why is there so much divorce among rich people, among the elites, the celebrities? They've got cars, houses. How did Michael Jordan get divorced from Anita? How is Steve Harvey, worth over $100 million, got three or four different marriages? I know y'all heard the news today. R. Kelly, one of the greatest entertainers of our time, just got 30 years. for criminal sex acts? 30 years? Nigga, you the Pied Piper of Love. You the world's greatest. You can dream, you can fly. You can touch the sky. Take your dreams and fly away. And you just got 30 years because you couldn't, you like peeing on little girls? You like urinating on your little girls. That gave, that was your peace of mind. You're rich. You have whatever the world could offer. And you only found relief of your mental stress and urinating on girls? Hell no. I guess the scripture's right. St. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. If we choose to do things the way Christ did things, he said we will have a peace of mind. In the world, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. From there, I wanted to go and get the definition of peace. That's what I want to do. I'm going to get the definition of peace. When we go to Webster's 1828 dictionary, not Merriam-Webster's, but just Webster's 1828. Definition of peace. First off, peace is a noun. It comes from the Latin word pax or pacio, meaning to appease. Definition number one. In a general sense, a state of quiet or tranquility. Christ says, I give you my peace. I give you my state of quietness or tranquility. It says freedom from disturbance or agitation. I'm giving you a way to deal with. It gives you freedom from disturbances or from agitation. Applicable to society, to individuals, or to the temper of the mind. Peace is temper of the mind. How to not let the disturbance or agitations get to your mind, get to your head, get to your dome. Definition number two, freedom from war with a foreign nation or public quiet. How Christ said, I'm giving you my peace is going to have you free from war with a foreign nation, with someone outside. I'm going to give you that zen. You're not going to burn incense. You're not going to burn weed. You're not going to get in some kind of crazy yoga position. You ain't going to have your chakras touched. You're not going to deal with your kundalini, some type of sex magic, that you might be free from agitation, free from the internal wars that we're going through. They get better. Some of them need to get better. Number three, freedom from internal commotion or civil war. If we follow the steps that Christ gave us and we do it the way Christ did it, we'll be free from internal commotion. You know, when you got the voices and stuff in your head that you just can't quiet them down, you got just so much pressure, you feel like your head's going to pop every single minute. Christ says, I'm going to give you freedom from internal commotion or civil war. You got to follow my way. Cool. Number four, the definition of peace. Freedom from private quarrels. Suits of disturbance. Christ says, I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you freedom from private quarrels. It's not going to be because you got a gun. Christ didn't get a gun to deal with any private quarrels. Christ didn't get violent. Christ didn't feel the pressure that he needs to go upside somebody's head. That's the only way he can deal with the pressure. That's not how he did it. We need to find out how he did it. How did he free himself from private quarrels? From suits or disturbances? Number five, freedom from agitation or disturbance by the passions as from fear, terror, anger, anxiety, or the like. How did Christ give freedom from agitation, freedom from disturbances that's led by fear, terror, anger, anxiety, or the like? Did he stay in a bottle? Did he stay on a porn site? Did he stay binge watching TikToks, YouTube Shorts, Hulu, Netflix, or what have you? Did he collect guns and weapons and armor so that he might be free from fear, terror, anger, and anxiety or the like? Christ, I give you peace. I'll give you, reading Deuteronomy number 5, a quietness of the mind. I'll show you how to quiet your mind from the fear, from the terror, from the anger, from the anxiety. Quietness of the mind. I'll give you tranquility. Calmness. Ooh, quiet of conscience. I won't have your conscience feeling so guilty. You have a war. Evidence number 6. Heavenly rest. The happiness of heaven. Number 7. Harmony. Concord. A state of reconciliation between parties at variance. Public tranquility. That quiet order and security, which is guaranteed by the laws as to keep the peace or to break the peace. There was more definitions, but these are some of the ones I wanted to get from Webster's 1828 Dictionary. So what are some of the steps and the processes that have to take place to get to this place of peace, comfort, and love that Christ was going to give? Did Christ just listen to gospel music? He just zoned out on gospel music? And that gave him peace. That quieted his mind from the disturbances and the things he was going through. Well, let's get some of these steps. Let's go to St. John chapter 15 and verse 12. Let's go to the book of St. John chapter 15 and verse 12. Brother, he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." One of the first steps to acquiring that peace of mind, that peace, we got to love each other as we love ourselves, as Christ loved us. We got to do things the way Christ did things. Verse 17, St. John chapter 15, verse 17. "These things I command you, that ye love one another. If we want to get to that place of peace, tranquility. We can't keep doing things the way the world does things. We have to do it the way Christ did it. St. John chapter 14, verse 15 through 16. St. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 16. If you love me, keep my commandments. That is just one of the most, straightforward statements that can be made. If we love Christ, we'll keep his commandments. And if we love him and we keep his commandments, verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. First of all, if we're not keeping Christ's commandments, then he's not going to pray to the Father to send you another comforter that will abide with you forever, abide with us forever. If we're not keeping his commandments, you can forget about it. Don't even think about Christ giving you comfort. Don't even think about Christ praying that you get comfort. If you're going to continue to look for the world, how the world does things to get a peace of mind, but you're not going to look to how Christ, what he did to get a peace of mind, don't think that Christ is going to do it then. You're going to stay fucked up. We're going to stay messed up. The things we go to are going to be very temporary. The things that we turn to are going to be very temporary. At the point we think that we're free from, and dealing with the definition of peace, right? Free from the passions of fear, terror, anger, anxiety, or the like. If you ain't keeping Christ's commandments that he got from the Father, guess what you're going to be surrounded by? Fear. Terror. Anger, anxiety, or the like. You could drive around in the Pope Mobile that's bulletproof, bazooka-proof, landmine-proof. But guess what's still going to be there? Fear, terror, anger, and anxiety. You're not keeping Christ's commandments that he got from the Father. This is why we can be afraid of COVID. Afraid, terrorized, anger, anxiety about germs. You have no peace. You still have no peace. We're not keeping Christ's commandments. We're not doing things the way he did things. We're not adopting his mindset to deal with the pressures and the duties and responsibilities, the fear and the terror of things that surround us. Straight fear. If we're not keeping his commandments, you can't forget about it, about him thinking that he's going to send a comforter, thinking that he's going to pray to the Most High to send us, send me comfort. Dealing with the word comforter. From the Webster's Bible Dictionary, 1828, comforter, a noun. One who administers comfort or consolation. If we're not keeping the commandments? You're not going to be given somebody that's going to comfort or give you consolation. One who strengthens and supports the mind in distress or danger. Are we catching this? If we're not keeping the commandments, Christ is not going to pray to the Most High to send you somebody that's going to comfort or strengthen or support your mind in distress or in danger. Ain't going to happen. From the Easton's Bible Dictionary, Comforter, the designation of the Holy Spirit. An advocate or helper. Another title for Comforter is an advocate or a helper. Christ is saying, if we're not going to keep his commandments, he is not going to send a comforter, an advocate, or a helper. It says the same Greek word thus rendered is transliterated, is translated advocate, as in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, as applicable to Christ. It means properly one who is summoned to the side of another. You keep feeling alone in all this? You got no help? Nobody's there? All you have is fear, anxiety. What was the list again? Terror? No problem. You ain't keeping commandments. You're not loving others as you love yourself. You're not putting others first the way Christ did. So all you have is terror. Something bad's going to happen. Nothing's going to work. Anxiety, paranoia. You ain't putting others first. So it says, it means properly, one who is summoned to the side of another. You feel like there's no one there? Let me finish this sentence. It means properly one who is summoned to the side of another to help him in a court of justice by defending him. One who is summoned to plead a cause. You feel that no one is there to defend you, to help you, to protect you. You don't put others first the same way Christ did. We don't put others first the same way Christ did. Knowing that that's what pleases the Father. Knowing that's how you get a creator on your side. That's how you get the Most High to be there, so that you feel protected. Reading on. An advocate is the proper rendering of the word in every case where it occurs. It is worthy of notice that although Paul nowhere uses the word parakletos, he yet presents the idea it embodies when he speaks of the intercession both of Christ and of the Spirit. When we go to St. John chapter 14, verse 33, let me make sure I got this in the order I want. You know what? Before I go there, let's go ahead and go to Psalms chapter 119, verse 105. Let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 165. I'm sorry. Psalms chapter 119 and verse 165. We're going to read 165 through 169. All right, so the book of Psalms, the 119th Psalms. I went to the 165th verse. Listen up, please. Let me check this. Yeah, we good. The 119th Psalms, verse 165 through 169. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Oh. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If you walk around always offended, always persecuted, terrified, anxious, paranoid, there's an answer to the equation of why you're going through what you're going through. You don't love doing things the way most of want things done. You don't love his law. That you got to put others first. Love one another as I have loved. A new commandment I'm giving you. Love one another as I have loved you. We don't love that. We don't want to hear that. That I have to put others first before myself. The same way Christ did? So that Christ will send a helper, an advocate, somebody to defend me, somebody to help me. Somebody to comfort me. Ooh, it's getting hot in here. So very hot in the air. Psalms chapter 119, verse 165. Great, Pete, great. Not little, not some, not a. It says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Verse 166. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. This is David talking, King David, one who, you know, whose mind was at, whose heart was like the heart of the Most High. David says, 119, verse 166, Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation. Why does a person need salvation? If you got everything and everything's good, why do you need salvation? Why are you hoping for salvation if you just got everything? Last thing you want. If you, Psalms 119, verse 166. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. I'm doing things your way. I'm judging things the way the Most High judges things. I'm in league with his judge. I agree that God knows what he's doing. Verse 167. My soul has kept thy testimonies. When David was going through things, what did David keep in his heart? What did David keep in his soul? TikTok? Snapchat, Hulu, Netflix. What did David keep in his soul? The testimonies of the Most High. For his time, that would have been the Torah. That history, up until that time, the Torah, including the Judges, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Job, he kept that. He kept those things. So that means what? He was studying. He was studying. My soul has kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. Verse 168. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let me understand your word. David wasn't praying, God, you got to understand what I'm going through. God, you got to feel me. That's not how David got down. For the Most High, give him a peace of mind. For Christ to get a peace of mind. From there, in dealing with discomfort, dealing with the comfort, the helper, the advocator, St. John chapter 14, verse 22. St. John chapter 14, verse 23. I'm sorry. St. John chapter 14, verse 23. Christ answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. If you want to stop feeling alone, fear, terror, what have you? The Messiah says what? If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Verse 24. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. I'm going to end it right there. We're not going to do and keep Christ's commandments, God's commandments. Christ is not going to pray to the Father to send the Comforter. So we're going to keep looking for things from the world to find comfort, to find peace. And it's going to be very, very, very extremely temporary. But like he did say, Psalm chapter 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I got to go ahead and end this class tonight at this time. I wish I would have started a little bit earlier, but again, running errands and the such, and then I have to get ready for work tonight, the plantation. So with that, I would like to give the Most High in Christ, the prophets, this right here.
All right, all right, all right. You're going to learn today.
And with that, one session long.
Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our power, Yahweh is one.